Hello, Dr. Srikala, you have an infographic and a presentation on your website describing your 25 years of journey in life skills education. In this conversation, we would like to hear in your own words about the different contours of the journey. To begin with, how did you start this journey into life skills education?
We started in 1995. And that was after rather two very unfortunate incidents. In a school nearby Nimhans, there were two suicides by young adolescents within a week. And that made the school approach us, who are physicians, psychiatrists, to request for some sort of suicide prevention and mental health promotion among the students through the teachers. Dr. Kishore and I, who have been actually working on this area together over the last 25 years, we initially thought that we knew how to promote mental health in normal children. But once we started the work, we understood that we were not very well actually qualified or trained or understood the concept of how to promote mental health in very normal children. So that's when we started looking at what are the ways in which somebody's, you know, personality and other mental health can be improved. And we started working with four different types of adolescents, rural children, urban, through schools, and then one tribal school, and also out of school adolescents. That gave us, working with them for about 1 to 1.5 hours, gave us a good idea about what to do if we have to actually help them to understand who they are and how to improve their own mental health and also what we call resilience. And this is how we started this journey in 1995 till 2000, because it took us some time to understand what it means to promote mental health among adolescents.
Good. You talked about a model in that infographic. Please give us more inputs on it.
Yeah. Having worked with these four groups of adolescents, we understood certain issues relating to adolescent development. We thought that whatever we did has to be among the peers, because peer learning was very important among the adolescents. And it had to be experiential and participative so that they could use the peer learning and not just modeling from the teachers or from their parents. And it has to be an interactive. So facilitation rather than teaching became very important. We understood that concept and we also started understanding about the life skills, because during this time, the HIV AIDS was a very big threat to the whole world, and WHO had started actually talking about life skills among people, and more importantly for adolescents to be able to actually improve their own mental health and also their behavioral issues. So
what
this
is WHO?
World Health Organization. So that gave us a lot of clarity about the philosophy of life skills. Because when you talk about skills, these are behavioral acts which a person exhibits based on her or his thoughts and also feelings. And when you talk about skills, these are a group of or a series of acts over which a person has significant control, awareness, consciousness after thinking and feeling about it, and is able to exhibit on demand. So when I am faced with a failure, I am able to think about it, ponder about it, understand my own feelings, and look at various choices, and then choose what is important at that moment, rather than feeling the heat of the moment and then doing something what I think is very important, or you know, that I have been shamed. So this gave us the idea about life skills and life skills training. And very luckily at that time, WHO, the Southeast Asian Regional Office in New Delhi, also came to us because they knew about our work in with the schools, and they said that they started supporting us for building a model of life skills training with a facilitator in schools and outside schools. And that's what made us much, much clearer about the philosophy, the concept, and what is to be the material, and then what should be the program. So this happened around 2000-2002, and we came up with all the resource material and the syllabus for the facilitators, be it the teachers or the counselors. And we, Kishore and I, are quite thankful to WHO CRO, the adolescent division, for helping us to do that very early in our journey.
What is the, how did you, you know, start implementing in Karnataka?
We did, when we developed this model, we were able to field test it with the teachers in Karnataka and schools in Karnataka, because it was necessary for us to field test it before we could actually publish it. And we also took a lot of feedback from the adolescents themselves, the teachers, the parents, the experts, and the administrators. Once we did that, we thought that we need to roll it out. And at that time, the Department of Public Instruction in Karnataka was very keen to actually roll it out. And they gave us funding, a large funding, for doing it in four districts, which was Haveri, Udupi, Bangalore Rural, and Herbal. And we were able to translate the material, whatever we did, and also plan our training in the local language, which is Kannada, and then do it in 260 schools through a cascade model, where we train master trainers from the Department of Public Instruction, and they train the teachers under our supervision, which was quite random. And then also we did refresher courses, and we were able to see them do it with their children on a regular basis in their own schools. And we were also able to sort of establish that the children who were in the program were actually able to have a sense of competence and a sense of coping better than children who were not in the program. And once this sort of a program was done in the school over a year, the children, the adolescents, had better adjustment even with the teachers in the school. And that was very heartening for us. And we have actually published the development of the model, training, and also the impact of the model at that time in, when we did the program in Karnataka.
Yeah. That DSERT, NIMHANS collaboration, what is DSERT stand for?
DSERT comes under the Department of Public Instruction, which is the umbrella organization, that is the education department. DSERT is the Department of Science, Education, Research and Training, which is very important, which is the organization, which is department, which is under DPI, which is responsible for many of the activities which go on in the school.
Did they give you any funding to do this?
Yes, they gave us, they supported us to do it in about 260 schools, and also the training of the master trainers and the training of the teachers, the material. So they did a lot of work, and they were quite keen on it, and we were able to show that it makes a difference in the children if done regularly. What we need to understand is this is not a one guest lecture or a one-time fix. It needs to be, just as we learn mathematics over 10 years, we need to do it repeatedly to be able to get that competence.
Okay, it's good that Karnataka took the lead in this. Did you use this model in other situations? Also, did you use it only in Karnataka or took it beyond the region?
Oh, we took it beyond the region because we used it both nationally and internationally. Internationally, for many of the disasters like the Bhuj disaster and the Gujarat, which Bhuj is in Gujarat, and then in the Tamil Nadu disasters, we actually trained the teachers so that they can use it with adolescents when they came back to school, and also encourage the teachers to open the schools at the earliest possible for normalization of activities. We did a very important project in Cambodia, using life skills training towards prevention of suicide in adolescents. We used it in other disasters in China, It was in Chengdu and also Sendai in Japan. And I have been actually presenting our work in various other forums all over the world.
Oh, that's good. You seem to have focused a lot on government schools. What is your experience with private sector?
Yeah, there is a very big role of the private sectors in education of our children in India. So what we did in 2009 was actually we started opening it out, the training to the private schools in Bangalore. And once we did that, there was very good response, not only of the private schools in Bangalore, but also the schools from other parts of the teachers and other people from the other parts of the country. So we used to run 3-day workshops of how to become a facilitator of life skills education. And it is not only the teachers, but many principals, administrators, community medicine personnel, pediatricians, psychologists and social workers used to come and participate, and they used to go and start the program in their own schools and in their own areas or even out of school, for example, NSS and also NCC and Scouts. They used to come and get trained from us, and it was a very, very heartening experience. We have done multiple, Dr. Kishore and I have done multiple workshops with the private, you know, out of school training.
Okay, now that you have recently set up an NGO called Steps for Wellbeing, how do you plan to take life skills education forward through this foundation?
We have set up a NGO called Steps for Wellbeing, and it is very, the name itself is very explanatory. So whatever work I have been doing of training master trainers and also the teachers would continue under the under this organization. Only thing is it will be outside NIMHANS, and we have already started doing the work and in collaboration with NIMHANS in towards prevention of suicide and in various educational setups, like with, I have started working with the government of Sikkim, some group of institutions like the SRM group of institutions, the teachers around the HD Kottai area, and also with special children. For example, I have trained most of the teachers of slow learners in Spastic Society of Karnataka. So I think it has a lot of relevance, not only in for the adolescents, but also throughout the life. For example, we could do life skills training for women, for elderly, and if whoever is interested, we could train them. But we need a facilitator who is able to do it repeatedly so that people get the competence and control over their own skills. And it will be a challenge, but it is a highly doable, feasible, and I think cost effective. And that would improve the competence and mental health of everybody who's trained.
Oh, thank you very much. We have managed to condense 25 years in 15 minutes. So here is wishing you all the best in the journeys.
Pleasure.
For that. Yeah. Bye. Thank you.